All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have started explaining the 99 perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did mention that Allah the Exalted said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, which means certainly Allah has the perfect names, so call Him with these names. In the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certainly Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1. Whoever memorizes them and understands their meaning will be admitted into paradise. What a great virtue and merit for the one who memorizes and understands these 99 names. This does not mean, however, that Allah does not have more than these 99 names. The names of Allah are uncountable. But these 99 names were especially mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that whoever memorizes these names and understands their meaning will be admitted into paradise. Now, the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah. And we mentioned that it means the one who is attributed with Godhood, which is the power to create the entities and their characteristics. Everything in this universe is divided into two main categories. It's either an entity, like bodies, objects, or a characteristic, like movement and stillness, colors, smells, and the like. This whole universe is composed of these two main elements. Either it's an entity or a characteristic to that entity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator, meaning is the only one who has the power to create, to bring the entities and their characteristics from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. No one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to create. That's why we say no one is God except Allah, meaning no one can create. In this meaning, in the meaning of bringing from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this interpretation for the testification of faith, La ilaha illallah, no one is God except Allah, in the way we explained it, that no one has the power to create except Allah Azza wa Jal, is the interpretation of Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one attributed with Godhood, which is the power to create, to bring from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, this entails that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped. The Creator is the one that deserves to be worshipped. So Allah is the only one who is rightfully worshipped. That's the meaning of God. So you can say the meaning of God, in brief, is the Creator, or the one who is rightfully worshipped. Because that's the meaning of the term God, that term cannot be used for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever calls other than Allah God blasphemes. because he is not confessing and believing in no one is God except Allah. So when you say no one is God except Allah, it's very simple. That means you cannot call other than Allah God. So if other than Allah can be called God, then why we say no one is God but Allah? So that's why you cannot call, it's invalid, it's blasphemous to call other than Allah God, wal'ayyazu billahi ta'ala. So that's the meaning of Allah. The one who is attributed with Godhood, which is the power to create. And therefore Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Then we talked about Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. We mentioned that Ar-Rahman means the one who has abundance of mercy to the believers and the non-believers in this life, and has preserved his mercy to the believers only in the hereafter. So in this life, believers and non-believers can benefit from the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. You find a non-believer who is wealthy, who is healthy, Allah bestows upon them from his mercy, gives them in this life. But in the hereafter, they will not have a sip of water. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that while the non-believers are in hellfire, they call the people of paradise. Allah Ta'ala said, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. What do they request from the people of paradise? Some type of sustenance, rizq. Something that they can benefit with. Or a sip of water. And they reply that these two things are banned for the non-believers. Meaning they won't get any type of sustenance, and they won't get a water that will benefit them. But there is a type of water in hellfire which is called al-hamim. The water that is heated to the extreme. And what happens, the angels force them to drink from it, and it does not quench the thirst, nor does it benefit them in any way. Rather, it melts the skin of the face. And it rips their intestines. So it doesn't benefit them in any way. So in this life, Allah gives the believers and the non-believers. But in the hereafter, the mercy of Allah is reserved for the believers only. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that the non-believer will be rewarded for his good deeds in this life, but in the hereafter, he will get nothing except being admitted into hellfire. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that Allah gives this life for the one who is accepted by Allah, and that is the believer, and the one who is not, and that is the non-believer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the akhirah, the hereafter, only for the believers. So in this life, the believers and the non-believers benefit from the bounties and enjoyments in this world. But in the hereafter, they get nothing. So we ask Allah to keep us steadfast on Islam and make us amongst those who die as righteous. Ar-Rahim means the one who has abundance of mercy to the believers. So it has less meaning than the name Ar-Rahman. Because Ar-Rahman, the meaning of it covers the mercy of Allah to the believers and non-believers in this world, and to the believers only in the hereafter. So it covers Allah's mercy to the believers and the non-believers. Ar-Rahim, the one who is merciful to the believers, the one who has abundance of mercy to the believers. So it has less meaning than Ar-Rahman. Al-Malik, that's the fourth name mentioned in the hadith. And it's mentioned in the Quran as well. Allah Ta'ala said, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. So Allah is Al-Malik. Al-Malik has more meaning than Al-Malik. Al-Malik, the owner. Al-Malik refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having the ultimate dominion, the absolute dominion, meaning the absolute control over the creations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with an eternal and everlasting dominion, meaning Allah's domination does not perish. Allah's domination does not perish. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything will perish except for his dominion. هِيَ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Imam al-Bukhari, when explaining Surah al-Qasas in his Sahih, he came across this ayah, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. He said, إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ means except for his dominion. Because the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal and everlasting. It does not perish. No one can do something against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can prevent the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from taking place. However, if you look at a king on this earth who has a type of dominion, it's not absolute dominion, it's a type of dominion that is not absolute, and that is in managing the affairs of people in general. But even that king will not have full control over his dominion. So in that domain of his kingdom, he doesn't have full governance and full rule and control over it. Things could happen without his acceptance. You know how happened in the past, even some people will turn against the king. They betray the king and they even kill him. So although he has that type of governance over his dominion, but it's very limited and it perishes. It doesn't last. You know Dhulqarnain? Dhulqarnain, the one who trapped Ya'juj and Ma'juj, known as Gog and Magog, behind that wall, and they are still trapped on earth. Big wall he made it from metals, copper. He melted them and he made a big wall where they won't be able in the ordinary situation to climb it. High big wall. Every day they dig through it, trying to get out of it. And as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, Every day they dig that much. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put his pointer on the thumb and made like a little circle. Every day they open that much. Then when the heat of the sun becomes tense, they can't dig anymore. They say, we'll continue tomorrow. They come the following day and they see it blocked. Every day they do that. So they are trapped behind that wall on a place on earth. Who trapped them behind that wall? Zulqarnain, who was a righteous Muslim. His name was As-Sa'ab. And he was called Zulqarnain because he ruled from east to west. From east to west. One of the poets said, وَالصَّعْبُ ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ أَمْسَى مُلْكُهُ أَلْفَيْنِ عَامًا ثُمَّ صَارَ رَمِيمًا. As-Sa'ab Zulqarnain ruled for how many years? 2,000 years. He had that governance, that ruling, that control, which is limited. It's not absolute. It's limited for 2,000 years. But then he died. ثُمَّ صَارَ رَمِيمًا. He died. Allah Azza wa Jal in this world might give dominance, that's al-mulk, or dominion, which is very limited to some of the creations. And this dominion, which is not absolute, it's limited, that is given to the creation. Some of the slaves might be righteous and they might be believers, like those righteous rulers in the past. And some of them were non-believers, like the Pharaoh of Egypt. The Pharaoh of Egypt ruled for how many years? Close to 500 years he ruled. Allah gave him that type of governance, but he ruled with injustice and oppression for 500 years. That dominion, which is limited, Allah might give it to some of his slaves in this world. And that's the meaning of the ayah. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah gives that dominion, which is limited, to some of his slaves and takes it away from others. Allah does whatever he wills. But Allah's dominion is absolute. What does that mean? Allah has full control over the creation. Full control. That nothing would happen in this universe without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a leaf of a tree would fall off without his will and destiny, subhanahu azza wa jal. Not even a grain that would grow in the belly of the earth without his will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's dominion is absolute, meaning that no one can go against what Allah willed, and no one can stop Allah Azza wa Jal from what He willed. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Whatever Allah willed for it to be, it shall be. Whatever Allah willed for it not to be, it shall not be. No one can make it happen. That's why in the hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to his cousin, and know that if the whole nation were to come together to benefit you with something that Allah did not will for you to get, you will never have it. And if the whole nation were to come together to harm you with something that Allah did not will for you to be harmed with, they won't be able to. So Allah has the full governance, the full ruling, the full dominance, and the ultimate and the absolute dominion. And Allah has full dominance over His creations, meaning nothing would happen without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing for it to happen. So if Allah willed for something to happen, it happens because Allah willed for it to happen. If something doesn't happen, it's because Allah did not will for it to happen. That's why it doesn't take place, it doesn't happen. So that's the meaning of Allah is attributed with the perfect dominion, the absolute dominion. But look at the kings that lived in the past. They tried to control the people and to preserve their dominion, but they collapsed eventually. And even these kings would die. So that type of dominion won't last. So it's limited. It's limited. And it's not absolute. Allah might give some of the angels the dominance and control over certain things in this universe. You know how there are angels in charge of wind, there are angels in charge of clouds, there are angels in charge of rain, there are angels in charge of plants. So they have a type of dominance, but it's limited. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the tribe of Prophet Hud with the wind, that wind was not in the control of the angels. That wind was not in their control. That wind would take one from the non-believers, the tribe of Prophet Hud, up in the air, then will smash him back to the ground with his head separated from his body. So that wind at that time was out of their control. But Allah might give them a certain and limited dominance. Also amongst the perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus. So we mentioned Al-Malik, now Al-Quddus. And in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah mentioned these names. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسِ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. So that's in Surah Al-Hashr. So the name Al-Malik is mentioned there as well. The name Al-Quddus is mentioned there as well. Al-Quddus means the one who is clear of any deficiency or imperfection. So Allah is clear of any deficiency or imperfection. Now, this name, Al-Quddus, is one of the names that are specific for Allah Azza wa Jal. So one cannot use that name in reference to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So far we mentioned Allah, and we said that's a specific name for Allah. We mentioned Ar-Rahman, said that's a specific name for Allah. We mentioned Ar-Rahim, which is not a specific name for Allah. It can be used in reference to other than Allah. Al-Malik is not from those specific names that are only used when in reference to Allah. But Al-Quddus is one of the names that can only be used when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why you can call a person Abdul Quddus, but you don't call him Quddus. Al-Quddus is a name that is specifically used when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal. What does it mean, Al-Quddus? The one who is clear of any imperfection and any deficiency, and the one who is clear of having a partner or having a child, and the one who is clean from all the attributes of the creation, such as occupying a place or being subject to time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of places and time. So Allah doesn't need the place, because Allah is the one who created it. Allah exists eternally. Allah's existence is without a beginning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is existent before creating the place and still existent after creating the place. And we say the sound mind judges that a creation that has a body, dimensions, volume, quantity, mass, must be in a place. But the sound mind judges that since Allah is the creator of this whole universe, Allah is the creator of places, Allah is the creator of time, the sound mind judges that it's impossible for Allah to be in need of a place or to be subject to time. Because Allah is the creator of place and time. Because some people might say to you, how is it possible that Allah is not in a place? Say to him, as the sound mind accepted that Allah was without a place before creating the places, the sound mind accepts that after creating the places, Allah is still without a place. It's very simple. But those people who try to say, we cannot conceive in our minds that Allah is not in a place, because every existent must be in a place, they are in fact applying the rules that apply to the creation, to the creator, wal-ayyazu billah azza wa jal. So they are applying the rules that apply to the creation, to the creator, wal-ayyazu billah. And this is invalid, because they cannot conceive a human being not being in a place. This is a rule that applies to a creation. So they apply this rule that is applied to the creation, to the creator, wal-ayyazu billah. They want to apply the rules that apply to the creation, to the creator, wal-ayyazu billah. We say to them, take it that way. Who created the places? They say, Allah. Who created the places? Allah. So as the sound mind accepted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is without a place before creating the place, the sound mind accepts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is without a place after creating the place. And that's the meaning of the statement of Imam Ali radiyallahu anhu. كان الله ولا مكان وهو الآن على ما عليه كان. كان الله, meaning Allah's existence is without a beginning. And nothing else is without a beginning. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is without a beginning. Then he said, وَلَا مَكَانَ, and there was no place. Place is created by Allah. وَهُوَ الْآنَ عَلَى مَا عَلَيْهِ كَانَ, and Allah is now as he was, meaning without a place, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was without a place before creating the places, Allah is still without a place after creating the places. So we all know that the universe is created. We all know that places are created, time is created. So Allah doesn't need the creations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need the creations. The creations need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every move we make. Your heart is beating by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. So without the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, how can your heart beat? You know yourself, you do not control your heart when it's beating. That's why when a person dies, they try to revive him. They try to revive him when his heart stops from beating. But if Allah willed for it to stop completely, they won't be able to revive that person. That's it, he's dead. You are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is giving you the power to breathe. So if Allah takes that power away from you, you won't be able to breathe. That's why if you think about these endowments of Allah upon you, in every move you make, in everything you are doing, you can recall the endowments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. And by this you reflect the greatness and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. So that's why we are in need of Allah, but Allah doesn't need us. As Allah doesn't need humans, Allah doesn't need angels. Allah doesn't need places. Allah doesn't need the arsh. Allah doesn't need the kursi. Allah doesn't need the skies, because Allah is their creator. So Allah's existence is without a beginning. And when you say without a beginning, eternally, there was no place. Eternally, there was no arsh, there was no kursi, there was no sky, no earth, nothing from this universe. Because this whole universe is created, it has a beginning. So Allah created this whole universe. Allah is the one who brought it from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. So Allah doesn't need it. So the one who is saying that after Allah created the arsh, Allah sat on it, he's claiming that Allah changed and that Allah needed the arsh. The one who says that Allah, after he created the skies, Allah dwelled the skies, he's saying that Allah has changed. And change is the most obvious sign that indicates that such a thing is a creation. Look at yourself, you are changing. Every day you change. And you are not changing yourself, you know that. You grow older and older, you cannot stop it. So you are not changing yourself. There is one who is changing you. Your mother is not changing you, because your mother wouldn't want you to be old. Your father is not the one who is changing you. Your neighbors, those around you. So who is changing you? Who is making you grow from this age to that age? Allah. So when you look at yourself, you are changing. This is a sign that you are in need of the one who is changing you. And the one who is in need is weak, and the one who is weak cannot be God. It's very simple. The one whose heart is open will understand this, but the one whose heart is blocked and locked, he cannot understand this. That's why you find some people, wal'ayyazu billah, although they know that Allah is the creator of the arsh, the throne, they still believe that Allah is sitting on the throne. So according to them, Allah wasn't sitting, then he became sitting. Plus, what does it say in the Quran or the Hadith that Allah is sitting on the throne? There is nothing from that. Even the word sitting does not apply to Allah, because the word sitting applies to the one that has a bottom part and upper part. So this does not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people know, as a matter of fact, that Allah is the creator of the arsh. So when they misinterpret the ayah, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa, which means here, as we are explaining, that the arsh is dominated by Allah's power. The arsh is preserved by Allah, controlled, subjugated by Allah Azza wa Jal. All these meanings befit Allah Azza wa Jal. Because you know the arsh is suspended in the space. Subhanallah, it's carried in the space, suspended by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't fall on the skies. The skies also are carried by the power of Allah. They do not fall on earth. Allah said, رَفَعَ السَّمَاءَ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. No pillars. And you know the thickness of the first sky is 500 years. It's something solid. We are living here on earth, and if we think about this fact that we are walking under this roof, if you want to say, which is the sky above us, with no pillars. No pillars carrying the skies. So how the skies are preserved from falling on earth? By the power of Allah. How the arsh is preserved from falling on the skies? By the power of Allah. So the arsh is preserved, subjugated, and controlled by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. Allah didn't say Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh jalas. Allah didn't say jalas, which means sitting. Allah didn't say Allah sat on the throne. So when those people are translating istawa as sat, wal-ayyazu billah, they are likening Allah to the creations. Because sitting is the attribute of the creations. Animals sit, humans sit, angels sit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble the creations in any way whatsoever. So if you think about this name, Al-Quddus, the one who is clean of all imperfection, the one who is clean of any deficiency, the one who is clear from having a partner or a child and is clear from resembling the creations, that will be sufficient for you to clear Allah from any resemblance to the creations. And the one whose heart is open, the one who is mindful, can understand. From this ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, can deduce all these meanings. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing resembles Allah in any way whatsoever. That will be enough. But some people, they recite it and they still say Allah has hands, eyes, face, body, shin, feet, wal-ayyazu billah. They liken Allah to the creations. So what's the meaning of Al-Quddus? It negates what they believe. It negates what they believe. Al-Quddus, the one who is clear from all imperfections, the one who is clear from any deficiency, the one who is clear from having a partner or a child or any resemblance to the creations. As-Salam. As-Salam is also amongst the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it means the one who is clear from any non-befitting attribute and any deficiency, such as injustice. Injustice does not apply to Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you say Allah is As-Salam, Allah is clear of injustice. Because injustice does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because what's the meaning of injustice? Injustice, when you act in the belongings of others without their permission. So how would that apply to Allah and everything is owned by Allah Azza wa Jal? So if I take something from you that does not belong to me unrightfully, this is called injustice. I'm taking the belongings of others unjustly. This is called injustice. Allah owns everything. We say in Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the owner of the whole universe, the whole world. So everything is owned by Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why injustice does not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from what does not befit Allah Azza wa Jal is to attribute to Allah Azza wa Jal a child. This does not befit Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, it's considered as swearing at Allah Azza wa Jal. In the Qudsi hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شَتَمَنِ ابْنُ آدَمُ وَمَا كَانَ لَهُ أَن يَشْتِمَنِي. Meaning, son of Adam swore at Allah, and he had no right to do so. Then he explained this by saying, as for swearing at me, it is when he said that I have a son. So the one who claims that Allah has a son is actually swearing at Allah Azza wa Jal. So from the meanings of As-Salam is the one who is clean from any deficiency. Thus Allah is clear from injustice, having a child or having a wife. Because this does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu azza wa jal. Al-mu'min, it means the one who is truthful in his promise for his slaves, and the one who fulfills his promise that he guaranteed for them. Allah promised the believers with paradise, so Allah will fulfill his promise, and the believers will end up in paradise. Allah will guarantee for them whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them with. That's the meaning of al-mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his promises for his slaves. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the slaves with will be given to them. That's the meaning of al-mu'min. Although when you refer to a slave and you say this person is mu'min, you mean a believer. You mean a believer. But that term, al-mu'min, when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal, it means what we mentioned, the one who is truthful in his promises to his slaves and will guarantee for them whatever he promised them with. However, you know, the name As-Salam that we mentioned earlier, before this name Al-Mu'min, the name As-Salam, when in reference to Allah, it means the one who is clear of all non-befitting attributes, of any deficiency. But this word As-Salam can be used in reference to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes they say As-Salam and they mean peace. We need As-Salam. We need peace. You might find a street and its name is Shari' As-Salam. As-Salam Street. So they want to say As-Salam Street, they mean by there is peace in this street. They call it As-Salam. So here it doesn't mean as it means when it's in reference to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So by this we conclude explaining the first seven names amongst the perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue next week, inshaAllah, Azza wa Jal, and Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.